You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Mick Norton and Kevin O'Malley. A good day to look forward to. It's Northumberland Plate Day at Newcastle. We've got racing at Newmarket, Chester and Windsor alongside that in the afternoon domestically. It's Irish Derby Day over in the Curragh and it's Doncaster and Lingfield in the evening. On the domestic front, plenty to look forward to, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm very well, thanks, Mark.
Good. Good man. Bit of a slow news day, really, I suppose, isn't it? Ahead of the weekend stuff,
it tends to be the way on a Friday, doesn't it? But I suppose the news that Hayley Turner is looking to pick up a few rides before making a one-off, in inverted commas, return in the Shergar Cup has hit the papers, which is, I think, is something that will split audiences, but something I feel reasonably strongly about. And I've generally been a supporter of Hayley Turner's, given that I thought as a rider she got an awful lot more flack than she deserved, because she always garnered more headlines than she might have because of her role as a woman in the sport, and the fact that she was, you know, breaking records there, and therefore I think because of a media obsession with her, the backlash, rather than being about her getting more focus than she might have, tended to be focused on her. But unfortunately, I think it's we've maybe gone a little bit too far with it this time. Now that she's retired, and she's still deemed to be the most appropriate jockey to stick in the girls' team, I've got a major issue with the issue of a girls' team in inverted commas as well, because I think it's important that women get a fair crack of the whip, if you excuse the pun, in the sport. But creating a novelty team, as essentially it is, I'm not calling it the female jockeys or women, but girls. It's not, you know, I don't think the Spice Girls did an awful lot for women's lib, really. and going down the same sort of route with jockeys is not really helping either. So Hayley quit riding, 6 months ago or so? More than that, nearly 9 months. I know she still rides out, but, you know, it's a jockeys competition and it should be about jockeys. I think it's not enough of a novelty that we should be celebrating people coming back out of retirement for, especially if that's just going to be a one-off. And there are other jockeys there who deserve their place. The one name that constantly crops up is Josephine Gordon, who's having a tremendous season.
Yeah.
She deserves her opportunity on a stage like the Shergar Cup to show what she can do. That's what it should be about. It should be giving a platform to women making their way in the sport. You know, partly, let's get the top jockeys from Australia, which we're trying to do. Obviously Michelle Payne from United States or Canada, you know, from around the world, the best jockeys, female jockeys who are really making a mark, and then give an apprentice from this country a chance to compete in that team and show what they can do, and then it becomes a very positive thing. By kicking out Josephine Gordon or even Sammy Jo Bell, who wouldn't be fit for it obviously this time around, but she wasn't apparently in consideration for it despite winning the silver sandal last year, but not to give an opportunity to a genuine jockey and go for the gimmick instead, I think is very disappointing.
The whole Shergar Cup day, though, is a bit of a gimmick, isn't it? And is it not just to get people through the gates?
It is a little bit, but surely the idea there is to give people who might not normally go racing an experience that is more tangible for them and is more likely to get them involved in the sport further down the line. But there's a fine line between gimmickry and making it a customer-friendly experience. And I think as a rule, they've done really well with the competition. The two problems I have, again, as I said, having a girls' team dressed in pink, and indeed the silks generally, which are very hard to distinguish from each other.
It's confusing, isn't it? Yeah.
It wouldn't be difficult to get silks that are a lot easier to read, but the designs are rather bizarre. It's difficult for commentators. It's difficult for viewers to pick them out. And that's easy enough to resolve. But as a rule, it's done very well. It was greeted generally with derision from hardcore racing fans. But I think a lot of people have been won over by the Shergar Cup over the years, and they need to continue with the good work and see where they're potentially going wrong. And I know that, you know, they can... It's quite handy for press releases and photocalls and stuff like that there, and it stirs up a little bit of controversy, and that's, you know, that gets them headlines, and they're very well aware of how to market something like this. But you could do, I think, just as well by bigging up the likes of Josephine Gordon and making the event positive all round.
Okay. So that's the thoughts on the return of Hayley Turner then. Not really much else to talk about. Should we get stuck into Saturday's racing? It's a good Saturday, isn't it? We should mention that.
It is. I mean, we've got a really interesting day, particularly at Newcastle, because, you know, we've had the Tapita surface relayed this summer. There's lots of unknowns about that, although we do have racing at Wolverhampton, so we know kind of how the surface works, and we get an idea of which horses may or may not go in it. But, you know, we've never had a maximum field handicap over 2 miles at the course before, and we've got two tomorrow. We've got the Northumberland Plate, and we've got the Northumberland Vase as well, the consolation race. So there are going to be a few clues there. They're both very competitive looking races on paper. One of them might not be as competitive as it looks at first glance, but we'll get on to that in a second. But it's a really interesting day, and the course has been well supported. You know, there was a lot of negative comment from trainers about tearing up the surface at Newcastle, but Newcastle wasn't getting tremendous quality 2 or 3 years ago. And the quality of racing we've had this season has not been at all bad, and the field sizes have been very good indeed. So it shows that there's a need for it there.
Yeah, it basically was the Northumberland Plate that people weren't happy about, and if they can get this race right on Saturday, then it must benefit the rest of the meetings in the long run.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've got the Irish Derby as well. We're going to look ahead to that, and we're going to look at one of the races from Newmarket, and we'll get Rory's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we start in the consolation race for the Northumberland Plate, which is the first running of the Northumberland Vase, a Class 2 handicap over 2 miles. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Full field of 20 to go to post here, Rory. And I suppose the logical starting point here will be Danny Day, given that he was... favourite in a lot of places for the Northumberland Plate, didn't get in, goes for the consolation race. Does that mean he's a good thing here?
It doesn't necessarily apply, and plenty of horses who don't make the cut for big handicaps and they've well supported don't manage to do the business in consolations. But there's an awful lot to like about Danny Day, and when you look at this race, there are lots of holes in the form of other runners, and you know, lots of horses who would have claims and in a slightly different setup who have issues to prove here, whereas Danny Day, he strictly needs to prove himself on the surface, but he's shown good form on Polytrack. And Polytrack and Tapita form tend to mesh quite nicely. He put up a career-best performance in a very good time, despite the fact that the race wasn't run ideally to show him off when winning at Chelmsford last time out. That was back in April, and he's not been seen since. But that purely was down to the fact that I think Connections realised they had a very well-handicapped horse. And they wanted to keep him back for races like this. And I imagine, you know, there are other valuable handicaps through the summer that will suit him as well. The handicap, I thought, it was very kind to him, putting up £6 for his win at Chelmsford. It was very impressive. It was a career best from him. He comes from a family that get better with age that Sir Michael has success with over the years.
Yeah.
The half-brother, Dobday, won the Glorious Stakes at Goodwood last year over a mile and a half. And the Grand Dam's half sister was second in the Queen Alexandra over 2 mile 6 at Royal Ascot back in the day. That's for John Ox.
Yep.
Plenty of stamina in the family, and Danny Day has improved every time he stepped up and trip. He did get a couple of runs as a 2-year-old. Looked like he was, you know, he would need time and distance to come into his own. And he's done that. He went handicapping off a mark in the mid-70s, was an impressive winner on firm ground at Haydock. Disappointed in the Melrose at York. But York, that meeting was a strange place last year. Both the Melrose and the Ebor over the same course and distance had a lot of horses who should have run really well, struggling badly. There seemed to be one strip of ground sort of centre to stand side that was a lot quicker than the rest of the course. Horses who stayed towards the inside could never land a blow, and he was one of those who did that. So that was his only poor run last year, was in the Melrose, but he was in good company. Plenty of other horses struggled to that meeting, who then bounced back. And of course, his next run was after a break at Chelmsford when putting up that career best. The chances are that he will improve one or two more chunks this summer. And the fact that he hasn't run since, it was just a gamble that he'd get into the weights, I think, for the Northumberland Plate. It was a perfect race for him. I think he looks different class to these. The issue, looking at the contest, is that he's drawn a stall 16.
Yeah.
And yesterday's results suggested that you're better off being drawn low on the round course. Obviously, with a new track, those kind of biases can swing around a little bit. But two or three horses drawn one were successful yesterday. Horses drawn wide were still competitive. But it's no bad thing to be drawn low. In saying that, there's not an awful lot of pace in the race. And although he'd want to be held up, it might not be a bad thing for him to be drawn high if he's going to be held up. There's nothing that looks like it's going to get a free lead in the inside stalls. And there are plenty of horses who you'd fancy in different conditions who you'd be concerned about. A lot of horses with no form on an artificial surface at all.
Yeah.
Who'd be interesting. The likes of the Cashel Man. He would be very interesting on turf, but he's by a sire with a poor record on Tapita. Grimetti, who won this Cesarowitch last year, again, no polytrack or Tapita form. Cardinal Walter is bred to appreciate it, but similarly, he's not run on this kind of surface. No. Sir Chauvelin has improved for a test of stamina this year, winning twice at Hamilton, but again, no form on this kind of surface. And you're actually very short. The horses who do have form are fairly exposed. And the ones who are interesting from a form point of view have questions to answer in terms of the artificial surface. So with Danny Day liable to improve another chunk after that challenge, I don't think he needs to. I think if he runs to the form he ran to at Chelmsford, he wins this. But all the indications are that he improve again. So it really is a case, I think, of Ted Durkin keeping out of trouble and making his run at the right time.
Okay, so Danny Day then in the Northumberland Vase. Moving on to the big race at Newcastle, the 4:15, the Northumberland Plate Heritage Handicap over 2 miles. It's for 3-year-olds and older again, full field of 20 here. We do have betting out already as well. At the time of recording this, Steve Rogers, the 7-1 favourite, 8-1 for Nikita, 9-1 for Polarisation and Seymour, 12-1 for Gang Warfare and My Reward, 14s for Gabriel the Hero and Saigon City. It's 16-1 for Antiquarium, Archvillain, Moscato and Nearly Caught, and 20-1 our bigger prices for the rest. We'll start with the market leader there, if we may. Rory, Steve Rogers. Roger Varian has been saying that he thinks he's got the credentials to win the race. He's drawn in 4 as well, which is a positive. And Roger Varian even saying he thinks that the draw could be more important this year than in the past.
I mean, I don't know whether that's going to be the case. It's not always the case on other all-weather surfaces that you want to be drawn very low in staying contests. And on turf at Newcastle, the run to the first bend was really crucial. The slightly different setup of the course means it's not necessarily going to be the case, but he might be spot on. And you'd certainly rather have something in single figures than have one stuck out wide on the evidence we have to date. That could be turned in its head on the day.
Yeah.
Because until you see big field races over this trip and how they're run, you're not quite sure how they're going to pan out. But that seems to be a positive. The trainer, who's having a very good season, is pretty bullish about his chances. So he's going to go for a shortish price. He was behind several of these at Chester. He went off favourite for the Chester Cup, but yep. Disappointed. And he does need to turn that form around. But on the other hand, he's got a good record on Tapita. So he'd be happier than most changing surface. There are several of these I really like for turf-staying handicaps, who I struggled to have on this surface. Nikita, I thought, was interesting at Royal Ascot last time, but wasn't declared for the Ascot Stakes. That was just beaten in the Chester Cup.
Yeah.
Would be just the perfect type for this race, but doesn't have form in the surface, and isn't bred to go on the surface either. That's the, you know, if you're looking for clues, you're looking for either a horse running on Tapita or Polytrack before and judging whether they'll be suited to it. And if they haven't, then you look at how the sire, the progeny have done as long as they've had plenty. And Nikita's by 60s Icon. He's got a 4% strike rate on Tapita, which is a worry. A lot of placed horses, though, in fairness. So maybe it's not as bad as it looks, but it is certainly a worry for a horse who's not raced on the surface. the other one I would absolutely love, if this was on the old surface, I would be all over my reward. Absolutely all over my reward. But if there's a horse, if there's a sire with a much worse record than 60s Icon on the surface, it's Real Link, an ARC winner, but 2 from 63 on Tapita is a poor return. My reward is Thoroughly Unexposed at 2 miles. Won well at Haydock last time out when I put him up on the programme. And a horse that I thought, you know, this is one that I'd want to follow in that kind of handicap. But the Real Link stat rather puts me off. In saying that, you can point to anomalies in that kind of stat. Steve Rogers, we know, handles the surface perfectly well, but Monsieur, who's a very good sire, doesn't have a great record either. And I'm not sure I'd read a huge amount into those who do have a very good record. It's just you're looking for any serious negatives, and there appear to be one or two there. One who has run twice creditably on the surface, not his best form, but I think he's better than it looks, is Gabriel the Hero, who was 4th in the Chester Cup.
Yes.
Prior to that, he'd been a winner on Polytrack at Lingfield, and prior to that, he'd won on Fibre Sand at Southall. He was beaten twice at Wolverhampton. I think some people would look at that and say, well, he's clearly not as good on Tapita as he is on either Fibre Sand or Polytrack. But actually, he's improved for a stiffer test of stamina on his last 3 starts, and also for the fitting and cheek pieces. It's either a combination of that, or it's, you know, one more than the other. I thought he's run perfectly well. He's beaten 3/4 of a length when 2nd at Wolverhampton over 1.5 miles in December, when looking a little awkward under pressure. He then looked a lot more straightforward with cheek pieces on in his next start. And he's done absolutely nothing wrong in his 2 starts since. That 4th in the Chester Cup, that was the toughest engagement of his life, and he ran up to his very best. Given that we know he handles the surface, he travels well, he comes from a yard in very, very good form at the moment, and he's drawn in a single figure stall.
Yeah,
I thought he might represent the value. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Steve Rogers won this, given how keen his trainer is, but I thought Gabriel the Hero represented a little bit of value.
14-1 at the moment for Gabriel the Hero. Let's move on to Newmarket. There, 355 is the race we're going to look at there. This is the Criterion Stakes, a Group 3 over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. I thought this was a little bit tricky, Rory. None of these really arrive here in blinding form. So how did you come to a conclusion here?
There's one, a real favourite of mine in this race, and he's finally got conditions in his favour, and I'm going to go with. I do respect the chances of So Beloved, who was impressive in his reappearance at Haydock this season and wasn't disgraced in Group 3 company last time. But the horse who will absolutely relish these conditions is Breton Rock. He had a tough task on his reappearance in the Sandown Mile behind Tourmore. He doesn't really want a mile. And in fairness, finishing 3rd at Tourmore was a perfectly good effort on his reappearance. But his best form has come with cutting the ground. He went winless last season, but he's very genuine, and he's got a very good record given his conditions. And given how well he's run in 2 starts this season, he was 4th in the John of Gaunt, beaten less than 3 lengths at Haydock last time out. 7 furlongs in Haydock suit him very well, but good to firm ground was no good to him. It's very quick that day. And I thought he ran as well as he might have in the conditions. Thoroughly reliable performer. And given they've had a lot of rain at Newmarket in the last couple of days, the going will ride somewhere between good to soft and soft. And that's a worry for plenty of these, to be perfectly honest with you. So I think it gives Breton Rock a tremendous chance of hitting the frame at the very least. And the beautiful thing about him is that he always seems to give his running in these sort of conditions. So he's bound to be there or thereabouts. And I think with a few of them, well, A, he's a better horse than half the field anyway, according to the official ratings. And those who might have an edge on him or who have similar ratings, So Beloved is rated 113 by the handicapper, Muwari 112, which is the same as him, they would arguably be better on quicker ground. For all both Mawari and So Beloved have form with ease, the one who relishes it is Breton Rock, and that gives him the vote.
Okay, Breton Rock then. The selection for Rory in the Criterion Stakes, and we finish off at the Curragh in their 5:25 big race of the day. The Irish Derby, Group 1 over 1.5 miles. It's for the 3-year-olds, obviously a field of 9 here, and the market headed by the Epsom Derby Hero. Harzand, who is 10-11. Idaho 2-1. 8-1 Red Verdon. 12-1 Moonlight Magic. 16s Port Douglas, and 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. Are we going to see a Derby double on Saturday?
We should do, and it would be the right result. Clearly, Dermot Weld hasn't been making particularly bullish noises about Harzand in the week leading up to the race, but he worked satisfactorily yesterday, I believe. It's been a little bit of a rush getting him here from Epsom, given that he tore off a shoe and he had that issue before the Derby. It didn't stop him winning the Derby itself, and that was a very good effort in the circumstances. It wouldn't be a massive surprise if you had a slight disappointment from him, given what he's been through. But, you know, he's lightly raced. He keeps answering the questions that are asked of him. He's, I think he'd be even better suited by the track here than he was at Epsom.
Yeah.
Too, for all, he's quite well balanced. He will stay further than a mile and a half in time. He'd be a two-miler if they wanted to go down that route. And the Irish Derby tends to be run as more of a test of stamina than Epsom. So, he really ought to be beating Idaho. Idaho was an interesting bet midweek. When you had doubts about Harzand, and we obviously lost the Derby runner-up as well during the week. If you were on Idaho each way prior to that, you were on a decent bet, but now he's something like a, what is he, 2-1 shot?
2-1, yeah.
And I'm not saying he's not going to win that, but the theoretical value has been taken out of the market thus far. I think he probably drifts back from that. Once Harzand lines up, then Harzand ends up getting backed for the race. And I think at the current prices, he's the value, because he's got the Indian sign over Idaho. He's beaten him twice anyway.
Yeah.
Idaho's been beaten. He's run very well, but he's been beaten in all three starts this season, having looked the winner, I would say, on each of them at one stage. So Harzand is the one who gets the job done. Red Verdon could run better. He was behind Harzand and Idaho in the Derby, but wasn't at all disgraced in finishing sixth. He came from a difficult position, had to work his way between runners as well. Prior to that, he was very impressive in handicap company at Haydock. But, you know, again, bear in mind, it was a handicap. He was winning off a mark of 88. But he should get closer to those two. The one who ran badly at Epsom, who might not be one to give up on entirely, although he's a slightly odd campaign, is Shogun, who would be 25-1 plus for this.
40-1.
Yeah, well, 40-1 is even better, isn't it? That's an interesting price. A quarter of the odds or a fifth of the odds? It should be a fifth of the odds, but
it
should
be. It's a fifth of the odds, one, two, three.
Yeah, but that's still, it's a one a place about Shogun is interesting. He's had a slightly odd campaign in that he ran an absolute cracker three starts ago to split Moonlight Magic in Idaho in the Derrenstown. Looking for all the world that he would improve again for a step up and trip. He was then dropped back to a mile for the Irish Guineas on his next start and couldn't live with it. And then he's run no race in the Derby at all. But he's a big unit who looked ill at ease on the contours at Epsom. It may just be that this slightly odd campaign has left him in no man's land and he would need a break. But I'm convinced there's a better horse in there somewhere. And I think he'd be capable of much better form than he's shown. Now up to a mile and a half, so he could be the surprise package in the race. And of course, Aidan O'Brien's produced a few surprise packages in this over the years. So if Harzand blows out, it might not be the obvious one who gets him, but you know, Shogun could be the type to come from left field. But the way the market is at the moment, the way the race is set up, I think you've got to be with Harzand.
Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying about Shogun there, because obviously that's his first run at a mile and a half on an unconventional track like Epsom. It's going to be much more traditional track, if you like, at the Corral, yeah, easier to handle.
If he'd missed his last two engagements, if he was coming off the Derrenstown, then he'd be a very interesting runner. As I said, it may be that having had those two runs, that's a big negative to his chances, but it wouldn't be a surprise to see him put in an improved performance.
Yeah, just a quote from Dermot Weld as well about Harzand. Apparently he was very pleased with him yesterday morning, so on the back of that, we shortened from even money into 10 to 11. So if he gets to the race course and he lines up, okay, he'll be short.
If he lines up, he's going to be shorter than 10 to 11, unless there's some kind of rumour going around that things are not as rosy as they appear. I think he's more likely to be 8 to 13 than 10 to 11 if you're looking at an odds on price.
All right. As usual, Rory, let's just have a little bit of a summary then, if you'll just give us your selections in a nice little bundle for Saturday.
3:40 at Newcastle, Danny Day. The 4:15 the Northumberland Plates, an each-way bet on Gabriel the Hero. I'm going to stick with Breton Rock in the 355 at Newmarket, the Criterion Stakes, and Harzand has a class edge in the Irish Derby.
Superb. Thank you very much, Rory. Good luck. Enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
There you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. It's myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Mick Norton and Kevin O'Malley. Newcastle, Newmarket, Chester and Windsor are the afternoon lineups. It's obviously Northumberland Plate Day at Newcastle as well. Irish Derby Day at the Curra, an evening action from Doncaster and Lingfield. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.